Good morning. I'm Janice Schwartl in for Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. As you know, every Monday morning we kick off the show with Ken Rudin, our political junkie out in Washington, D.C. Ken, I've looked forward to this conversation for weeks because
we'll see about that, Jenna.
That's true. We'll just let you dive in with the expertise here. It was a busy weekend in Washington, D.C. If you went to the correspondents' dinner, you had that going for you, or you could have gone to the president's rally in Pennsylvania. What should we weigh on first here, Ken?
Well, I think both. I mean, I think it's interesting that, the first president, I mean, Donald Trump, every time we talk about Donald Trump, it's always followed by he's the first president to do X, Y, or Z. I mean, he's just changing the roadmap every time he does something. And one thing he did not do is attend the correspondents' dinner. So to me, I think it was the right choice. You know, he clearly, day in and day out, he bashes the news media as corrupt and dishonest, as he did this weekend at the rally in Harrisburg. So he wasn't there. You know, the jokes were at his expense, as always, and his speech in Harrisburg was at the news media's expense, as always. So I've, both sides got their little licks in, and I don't know what was accomplished. I think the big news, of course, is the fact that the government, the Congress, has come up with a deal, not surprisingly, that they have enough funds to fund the government through the end of September. So all those horrors of a shutdown went by the wayside.
Yeah, lawmakers burning that Sunday night midnight oil, I guess, and getting that $1 trillion-plus budget passed that takes us through September, like you said. When you take a quick look at it, Ken, who are the winners and losers in this budget?
Well, of course, I'd like to make the case that the American people are the winners, because basically what Congress is supposed to do, the basic thing that Congress is supposed to do, is make sure government is working and running. So at least we have that. Look, you know, the Republicans got some of what they wanted. They wanted much more money for defense, and $12 billion was added to the spending package. And of course, Donald Trump, the White House, and Republicans like that. But Democrats have some reason to brag, too. There was no money put there for the border wall. There was no money. No money was taken out for sanctuary cities. So the Democrats say they did well, as could be expected, or given the fact that they hold very little power on Capitol Hill.
One of the other things that came out overnight was this friendly call President Trump had with the controversial leader of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, the president seems to like authoritarian leaders. We saw that with his praise of Putin during the campaign. He said that Putin is much more respected than President Obama. We saw that. We saw him congratulate the president of Turkey during that very questionable referendum campaign a couple of weeks ago. And now he invites Duterte, the president of the Philippines, to the White House. And remember, the Filipino president is the guy who called President Obama a son of a whore. I mean, you know, he's very incendiary. He's very inflammatory. And, you know, you could make that case about Donald Trump, too. So he seems to like those kind of leaders. Not a surprise, but of course, human rights observers aghast at what's going on in the Philippines with the murders, the drug raid murders that seem to be going on nonstop. We're just aghast at the thought of that kind of an invitation for the White House.
I guess that's my question then, Ken, with what's the strategy of President Trump in chumming up to Duterte with those sorts of human rights violations going on? Is this worth the backlash?
Well, Donald Trump has never, and this is really not a criticism, I think it's more of an observation than anything, I've never seen him respond or react or be fearful of a backlash. He says what's on his mind. He tweets what's on his mind. And sometimes he could tweet A on Monday and then realize, and then suddenly on Tuesday, tweet the complete opposite, you know, B. But this is who he is and this is what he does. But the fact is, he does have this fondness for authoritarian figures, and perhaps he sees himself as a very, you know, an all-powerful, almighty Wizard of Oz, which you know, he certainly criticized President Obama for not being. So he goes to the Philippines, he goes to the Kremlin, he goes to Ankara, you know, in Turkey for these strong leaders, and this is what he likes. And you know, the critics could, you know, howl and hoop and holler all they want, but it's not going to deter Donald Trump.
Very true. Okay, well, let's get back to what the big news was of the weekend, at least the first news of the weekend when it comes to these kinds of politics, and that was the 100-day threshold has now been broken. Winners and losing moments for the administration in that, in your opinion?
Well, you know, first of all, it's very remarkable that the president said from the beginning that, you know, during the campaign that watch everything I get accomplished in the first 100 days. It'll be amazing. It'll be huge. It'll be just great. And during the last couple of days, he said it's the greatest 100 days in presidential history. There was a guy named FDR who might disagree with that. But I mean, he's talked about all the things he accomplished, and he did accomplish some things. I mean, there's no question he got through, whether you had to change the Senate rules or not, you got Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, which is a big deal. When you think of presidential legacies, you think of the people, you know, the guys and the gals, they get on the court. And so Gorsuch was big. And of course, perhaps the next Supreme Court opening, if there is one in the Trump term, will be even bigger. And he did, you know, you say, well, he criticized Obama for all his executive orders. And here we have Donald Trump far outdoing Obama with executive orders. But again, in those orders, he did what he said he would do. He would roll back many of the Obama policies on the environment, on trade deals, on the pipeline. Now, he tried to do more about the Muslims, well, refugees coming from majority Muslim countries, that was stricken down by the courts. But for the most part, he has done what he said he would do. But as far as Congress coming up with an alternative or an end to Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that hasn't happened. And we'll still see if there's going to be an infrastructure bill or a tax bill. Those have not happened either.
You know, to prove your point, Ken, President Trump kicked off his rally in Pennsylvania, his day 100 rally, by saying this.
We are keeping one promise after another. And frankly, the people are really happy about it. They see what's happening.
One of the things that came to mind when I heard that bite from President Trump, Ken, is that I read last week 96% of people who voted for Donald Trump said if they had to do it again, they would. They're still behind the person they voted for. That soundbite says he's keeping his promises. And a lot of the things that you're saying say that he is as well. He may not have achieved some of those things, but are, you know, saying that he's at least trying?
Well, I mean, I think there's such a difference of opinion in D.C. or in the country about Donald Trump. His opponents are more determined to defeat him and his policies than ever. There seems to be every day there's another mass demonstration or a mass rally in cities around the country on the environment, on policies involving women, on almost anything you could come up with. But as you point out correctly, that polls show that some 96% of his supporters say, you know, right on, keep doing what you're doing. This is why we voted for you. This is why we wanted the change of politics of usual. And he has done that. But has he changed critics' minds? Has he won over many people? Has he won over even, forget about Democrats, has he won over many Republicans who are questioning him? It's questionable. It's really questionable whether he has made these gains. And then, you know, you hear an interview, speaking of what happened over the last couple of days, the interview he had with Reuters talking about, wow, I had no idea this would be such a tough job. I mean, my goodness, it's the presidency of the United States. But, you know, I mean, you know, we've never had a president who've come into office with so few political credentials, you know, never served in politics, never served in the military, and he never had to answer to anybody. He was Donald Trump. So, you know, there are a lot of things that are a surprise to him. Perhaps there's a lot that's a surprise to us. But has he changed? Well, maybe, you know, I mean, of course, remember China was a terrible currency manipulator. And now China is our ally against North Korea. He can switch on a dime. He could turn on a dime. Many people in Washington roll their eyes and say he has no core principles. His supporters will say, well, he's flexible and he, you know, reacts to things as they happen. So both sides are not coming together on this anytime soon.
Well, another item that sides need to come together on is health care. Donald Trump tweeted yesterday morning, quote, healthcare plan is on the way, will have much lower premiums and deductibles while at the same time taking care of pre-existing conditions. So he puts out on Twitter yesterday morning, Sunday morning, Ken, that the healthcare plan is on the way. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it is on the way. I mean, look, for goodness sake, the Republicans have been talking about it for 7 years. It's pretty shocking that when they first rolled out with a plan in March, it failed to even get a majority of the Republican conference. So it's interesting. All these years of talking about it, they still didn't get it done. What's interesting about this plan is that it seems to have given in to many of the Freedom Caucus members, you know, the more conservative members of the Republican conference in the House, a lot of the demands that they were demanding. And by doing so, it puts into question whether the whatever remaining Republican moderates are left, whether they'll go along with it. So if you assume all the Democrats will vote no on it, I mean, that's not a fair assumption because, you know, there are Democrats who support Donald Trump, as we saw with the Gorsuch vote. But if you assume most of all of the Democrats vote no, you could only afford to have 22 Republicans voting no. And right now there's anywhere between 15 and 30 who are either saying no way on this one or we have strong reservations about it. So maybe there is a healthcare alternative coming in the next couple of days, but whether it has the votes is still questionable.
Does it need to be right now? That's a question I was wondering. Is we're looking at the budget perhaps on Friday. He's just coming off 100 days. Is there a sense of urgency, in your opinion, with health care for the Trump administration, or can they wait?
Well, I think they can wait. I certainly think you want to wait until you get it right. Obama took a long time, or a comparatively long time, before he unveiled it. And of course, it still didn't get any Republican votes. But back in 2009 and 2010, you didn't need Republican votes because you had big Democratic majorities. It seems like, for example, when they rolled it out in March, that failed rollout, it was done on the anniversary of when Obama released his so-called Obamacare, and it seemed like a forced anniversary to a forced deadline. And as we saw this week or last week, there were so many efforts by the White House to get so many things done in that so-called 100-day period, which Donald Trump himself called ridiculous, even though he touted it all week long. So, look, do it when you have the votes. Do it when you can get at least a majority of the Republican Party. Because if you have the overwhelming majority Republican vote, you can afford to bring it to a vote and lose all the Democrats but get it passed. But to say that I want to do it immediately because we promised we would, again, you know, I don't think Paul Ryan can afford a second defeat, even though it never went to a vote last time, but a second disappointment on health care. Do it when you have the votes. Do it when you're ready. Don't force it out. I think that may be what's happening. There's no guarantee when it will come up for a vote. It may not come in the next couple of days, but certainly it's coming soon, and they should have the votes if they're going to do it.
Yeah, that's what Speaker Ryan has always said, is we'll wait until we have the votes. But as you know, Ken, we have Twitter now, and we have a president that uses Twitter, so we get conflicting messages all the time. So we'll just have to stay tuned to see what happens with healthcare and when it happens with healthcare. I thank you for your time on this Monday morning, and hope you can strap your helmet back on and get back to it in Washington, D.C.
Janet, it's great talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.